Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the Samsung Galaxy S9 and the S9 Plus. These two phones have not launched just yet. We are recording this episode on Thursday, February 8th. These phones are expected to launch on February 25th at Mobile World Congress 2018, which will be held in Barcelona, that's in Spain. So before the launch, we've had a whole bunch of rumors surrounding these phones, and we've had really accurate looking leaks coming from very credible sources. So we thought we should just talk about what to expect from the Galaxy S9 and the S9 Plus.
Tero headphones se awaaz aa raha. I think I could hear it.
To talk about this, we have our deputy reviews editor, that's Royden Sarejo.
Hey, what's up?
And we also have our other Android enthusiast and all-round reviews person, that's Aditya Shenoy.
Hello.
And I'm your host, Pranay Parab. So first of all, let's look at the design of this phone. Well-known leaker, EV Leaks, even Blas, who works with VentureBeat, he's leaked renders of the phone. So Aditya, I believe you had some comments to make
So Ivan Blas has leaked some of the press images, and also there are case manufacturers, and you know, I think even Dbrand accidentally leaked the S9 and the S9 Plus, and it looks like it is going to have most of the design elements like the S8 had. So you still have the big display, and Samsung actually had a weird format. It was 18.5:9. Whereas every other manufacturer now is sticking to 18:9. So I'm not sure if they will go back, they will go to 18:9 or will retain their 18.5:9 aspect ratio. Other than that, one other major change that we've seen is the fingerprint scanner positioning. Earlier it was positioned right next to the camera, wherein a lot of people have complained that they would accidentally smudge the camera sensor trying to locate the fingerprint scanner, and it's moved below the camera module. And this is something we've seen on the Samsung Galaxy A8 Plus as well, which was launched a couple of weeks back, wherein it had a single camera sensor and the fingerprint scanner right below it. So it might just be possible that this would be there in the S9 and the S9 Plus as well.
Yeah, I mean, design-wise, obviously, I don't think they're going to... We didn't really expect them to do any drastic change anyways, because last year was a major redesign for most of these manufacturers for their flagship phones, and now they're just sort of polishing it off. But if you look at the leaked images, and if they are in fact the actual images of the S9 Plus, you'll notice that the display doesn't really curve overflow on the sides anymore. In fact, there's actually a thin bezel which is visible, and the bezel itself does the curving. So the display stops right where the curve begins. So it's actually a flat display, very similar. In fact, it looks very similar to the Pixel 2 XL if you look at it from the front. So, which is actually good, because, you know, having a display at the side when you're holding the phone, often your fingers do tend to touch the screen. And that's really annoying when typing, because, you know, characters that are placed at the end of it are sort of curved off and you can't really type on it properly.
Yeah, I spent quite a bit of time with the Galaxy Note 8. I believe I was reviewing one or two Android games on that.
Yeah.
And it was really annoying to play games on that particular phone, because, like as you said, you know, when you're holding the phone in landscape mode, your fingers tend to touch the edges of the screen. And with games that are not properly optimized, sometimes what happens is you tend to press the pause button or something else, which you don't really need.
Other things or items within the game sort of would appear a bit warped, right? Yeah. Because it's curving towards the edges.
Yeah. So I think there was one mode which sort of allowed you to fit the game within the screen itself and not go all the way to the edge. But I think that depends from game to game. It differs.
Yeah.
Some of them support it and some of them don't support it. But yeah, overall, I am very pleased with this decision if indeed this rumor is true.
Yeah.
The flat display looks really nice to me. Much more practical design than the previous one. It may not look as good in real life, because I still think that the Galaxy Note 8 and the S8 are pretty good looking phones. That curved display really gives it that nice polished look. It may not look as good, but functionality wise it is definitely looking a lot better. And as Aditya said earlier, just to elaborate for our listeners, the leaked images, they show like two cameras, one on top of the other, and below that is the fingerprint sensor, which puts it roughly close to the center of the phone at the back. So there's like camera one, camera two, a fingerprint sensor, and next to that, to the side of that, there is that flash module over there. So it seems like a much more practical design once again. And yeah, that brings us very nicely to your point, Royden, which says that, you know, they're just polishing off these inconveniences from the first generation design, which, you know, was a revamp after the S7, I think. So overall, like, this looks a lot like the Pixel 2 XL.
From the front, at least.
Yeah, from the front. Yeah. And from the back, you can tell that this is a Samsung phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But unfortunately, all these leaks, they don't show us the bottom of the phone where we could have found, you know, whether an important feature is missing or not.
Yeah. You mean the headphone socket?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see any reason for them to leave it out unless they have some other... designed reasons why they would have left it out. But yeah, it's still unclear as of now whether the phone would have a regular 3-point headphone socket.
Yeah,
or
and at this point, even if they remove it, I don't think, you know, anybody's going to care much because the industry has just moved on.
It is. I mean, yeah, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that much of an issue to use a dongle.
Or, you know, to just use wireless.
Or just use Bluetooth headphones. Those have gotten pretty good over the years. So.
Yeah. So there's that. Okay. So from a design perspective, phone looks quite good, as we just mentioned. Specifications. Now, I think in India, we'll have the Exynos variant of the phone. And in the US, this is expected to run the Snapdragon 845, right?
Yeah.
So beyond like incremental updates to the number, like, is this supposed to bring in like a big boost in performance or something? Or
so, I mean, it's still hard to say how much of a performance increase is the 845 over the 835. I mean, 835 is still a very successful and a good chip from Qualcomm. So 845, obviously, we would see that usual maybe 10 to 15% performance boost in general in like benchmarks and... everyday performance. It also depends on how well Samsung has optimized its experience UI, which I'm sure it's worked on, and this will probably be running Oreo as well.
Yeah, they're most likely going to be running Android Oreo out of the box, and that's one of the reasons why you should wait for the S phone and not get the Note phone. Because if you buy the Note phone, like, when it will get the current version of Android is a big question mark. I believe at least until mid-Jan, when I had the phone, the Note 8, India hadn't received the Android Oreo update, right, for that.
Yeah, I mean, updates are going to be slow, especially with OEMs. It's not going to be as quick as Pixel ever. So that is just something I think everyone has sort of accepted and like just, But I think interesting thing more than the SoC is at least what's rumored to be a difference in the RAM and storage between the two variants. So the S9, which will be the smaller sized version of the new Galaxy phone, is rumored to have 4 GB of RAM. And 64 GB of storage, whereas the S9 Plus will now have 6 GB of RAM and maybe 128 GB of storage or maybe more.
256 or something.
Yeah, I think they'll come with two variants, right, for both phones. So
it's honestly not necessary that they'll bring it at the time of launch, because we've seen it with the S7 as well. The 128 GB version came a lot later.
Yeah.
And even for the Galaxy S8 Plus, wherein they launched a 6 GB, 128 GB version much after the launch. So with Samsung, what they do is, with at least the Plus series, what we've seen is they would mostly launch a higher RAM and storage variant sometime later. Or a new color option as well. So,
And this is a slight departure because, from the S8 series also, which were identical in specs apart from the display size and the battery. Those are the only two major differences between the two phones. However, here, there's a lot more than just display size and the battery difference in the S9 and S9 Plus. And in a way, I think this would also give Samsung a chance to sort of price the S9 Plus higher than it would typically, because it would, you know, I mean, their argument would be, I mean, you're paying a much higher premium than last year for the S8 Plus, but we are also giving you a lot more specs. I mean, there's a pretty big difference in the specifications.
For one, I think the S9 has a single camera module at the
back. Yeah, that is another big thing that we'll get to in a bit. The camera is going to be, again, a big... talking point for Samsung this year.
Yeah. As of now, I mean, the storage is obviously a good thing to have. You know, more internal storage, the better.
Yeah.
And also, this kind of a thing particularly matters a lot in India, because people who will be buying these phones, they will also be using services like Netflix and Amazon Prime Video, which allow you to download a bunch of videos. And I know people who download entire seasons of their favorite TV shows in proper HD resolutions on their phone, and they sit and watch it on their journey home or while coming to work or just wherever they're traveling. So, you know, more internal storage is obviously a good thing.
Yeah.
And beyond that, yeah, I'm happy to see the fact that, you know, they're making all these really practical choices, like, you know, not putting in RAM just for the sake of putting in more RAM, yeah. If indeed the specification is true. 4GB of RAM, I think, is still more than enough for most people.
Yeah.
And you know, Android runs quite smoothly on
that. I mean,
the day
Pixel phones shift to 6GB of RAM is then, you know, that Android needs more RAM. But till then, I don't think anything more than that is really needed.
Yeah. But I hope that day never comes, you know. Because I don't even know what will happen to the budget segment then.
Yeah.
You know, it'll
but I think, I think Android is just going to get more optimized. So I don't think, I mean, as we go on with newer iterations, I think it would be less resource intensive rather than be more.
Like, you'll only
ideally need, that's how it should be at least.
Yeah, like you'll only need that amount of RAM if you're constantly multitasking between different apps. Otherwise, you don't really need more than 4GB of RAM. So I think that shouldn't be much of an issue.
Yeah, so going to the next big thing, which is the camera. Now, what has happened in the camera industry in general, I mean, the smartphone camera industry, is that it's become a big three-way race now. There's the Pixel, there's the iPhone, and there's the Samsung.
Yeah.
So last year, I think Samsung was quite behind the iPhone and the Pixel.
Hmm.
So this year, they have to play catch-up on that. That is one area where they can definitely improve. So, based on these rumors, at least, what are you guys, you know, seeing?
So, I mean, so the biggest, I mean, if you see the teaser that Samsung has put out, they say the camera reimagined or something of that sort. And according to the rumors that Ivan Blas has managed to get, some of the info that he's managed to get, it says that it will have a variable aperture, which is the first for a smartphone. So, what that means is you will be able to, or ideally should be able to, physically change the aperture from, I think, f1.5 to f2.4. Yeah. Now, a couple of advantages to this is, like, if you use a DSLR, one advantage of changing the aperture is that you can you can set the amount of background blur that you want between your subject and the background. Now, you wouldn't always want to have that sort of depth and the background defocus from your subject when shooting. And with smartphones, if you go close up to a subject, it automatically, since it has a fixed aperture, it just gives you that one sort of level of blurring in the background. But sometimes you also want to capture some of the background details.
Mm.
And this, with the S9, it would actually let you set the level of blur. And this is not like blur that is done in software, like how you have from the bokeh modes in most of the phones these days. This will actually be a
hardware-driven mechanical
bokeh, like a natural bokeh.
Hmm.
So it will be really cool to see how this...
Yeah, that will be much more effective than the software.
It would be much more effective, and it's also be interesting to see how much of a difference would an actual mechanical bokeh make compared to what we have portrait modes these days.
Yeah, because in software, I think it will primarily be on and off. Like, it would just go and blur everything that's behind the subject.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's a hardware-driven aperture, you can kind of fine-tune it to determine the level of detail you want in the background to
be visible. Yeah, I mean, that is the whole idea of the variable aperture, right? I mean, and also, rather than using two cameras to judge the depth of the subject and then, you know, apply
use algorithms,
the blur,
to
apply the blur to make it look natural. You're actually getting a natural bokeh. Mm. So that'll be really interesting to see how they pull this off.
Yeah, I'm also very excited to see what's happening in this space, because for most people, like, the camera on the phone matters a lot.
Yeah.
Because as they say, it's a very old cliched saying, the best camera that you can use is the one you have with you, right?
Yeah.
Mm. So, now, so far what we've seen is Google has taken the AI direction. Everything is software driven and, like, machine learning, etc.
Yeah.
Enhances photos in the Pixel. iPhone has taken a much more hardware driven approach, and so has Samsung.
Yeah.
So the one thing that phones these days cannot do is zoom. So all their zoom, like, so far, whatever we've seen, most of it is digital zoom and not optical.
Yeah.
So I would like to see some, you know, features like these coming into play, which are like more hardware driven features, which take phones more towards, like, professional cameras,
yeah,
you know, than just like enhancing the software. I believe a combination of the two is in order. And hopefully someday, you know, we'll get to a stage where nobody really needs to buy a camera at all for any purpose.
Yeah.
Because I still remember some of the shots that I've taken with a super zoom camera, a prosumer camera, maybe in 2009-10,
yeah.
I can't match them with my phone even now.
Another thing, I mean, this hardware-driven thing, it will be for the primary 12 megapixel sensor. So this feature will be on both phones. Mm-hmm. However, the S9 Plus, again, according to the pictures, will also have a second camera, just like the Note 8. Although that is, we don't really have any details on that. But in all likelihood, it would be a telephoto
lens,
sensor. So with the greater focal length, so you can sort of do an optical zoom.
Hmm.
So that's another differentiating factor, again, between the two phones, which is why we could see a bigger gap between the S9 and the S9 Plus in terms of pricing.
Yeah. And I also believe that this year, maybe we will see a similar trend with the Pixel as well. Because last year, I believe they focused a lot on the software, but they ultimately had a single camera on the phone.
Yeah.
And that was like one of the things that, you know, I think at least this year they could work on.
Yeah.
And, you know, combine the two and deliver a much better result overall in terms of the camera.
Well, I mean, they have acquired part of HTC, so hopefully everything is made by HTC this time and we don't have issues like we had with the XL.
Yeah.
Okay, let's not go there now.
Yeah, let's not go
there. That's for another podcast.
Yeah.
Cool then. So camera is also covered. I think beyond this, there is a usual bunch of specifications, like it'll feature USB Type-C, which is now increasingly becoming common in the premium segment.
Yeah.
Then, you know, the regular 3000 mAh battery.
For the S9, and I think the S9 Plus would be 3500, slightly bigger.
Yeah.
Same
Nothing very like exciting about these features. They are becoming standard increasingly. As we said earlier, the camera is really becoming the competing ground apart from the chipset.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, I don't think most people care about the chipset as much as they care about the camera in the phone.
Yeah.
So that's that. But usually what I've noticed is that Samsung has this one trend of trying to push in some sort of a gimmicky feature, which, you know, most people do not like. I think last year it was Bixby. Yeah. So this year, again, are they shutting it down or are they
No, they're definitely not shutting it down, because if you remember at CES, you go to Samsung's booth and Bixby was in all their products. It's in their TVs, it's in their washing machines, in their air conditioners. So Bixby is spreading, in fact, and that's still there on the S9 also, again, according to the leaked pictures.
So the thing is, my understanding is that Samsung does not really want to surrender entirely to Google, because Google Assistant is a very powerful product, as everyone knows. But then, you know, if Samsung uses all Google features in its phones, then its own value add becomes less, and also it cannot develop an ecosystem around these hardware products, right? So having its own software, artificial assistant, that kind of gives it that platform to make a whole bunch of other things, that Internet of Things play with that. So maybe that's why they're pushing it. But jokes aside, Bixby is still quite a ways behind Google Assistant.
Yeah.
And it really needs to do a lot to catch up. I think the first thing they should do is seriously consider changing the name, because it's so hard to say Bixby as opposed to Hey Google or Hey Siri or Alexa or whatever. Yeah, so maybe, you know, they will take more practical decisions with this as well at some point in the near future. At the very least, they should allow people to change the name from Bixby to something else. Like Alexa allows you to say computer or some other things right?
Yeah.
You can program it to change that, change the keyword. So if they let you do that, then nothing like it, you know. So that's the one thing we are expecting. Beyond that, the most important news that we haven't really spoken about is the price of the phone. Now, this year is going to be extremely controversial, and we can all like collectively get really angry, like turn red-faced and wave our finger at Apple for this, because the iPhone X cost about $1,000. That is, what, 89,000 rupees in India.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, because of that, other manufacturers in the premium segment are going to look at this and say, okay, look, Apple managed to do this. Apple managed to raise its average selling price of the iPhone by some $100. So if we increase the price of our phones, we could make more money. So let's do that. So Samsung is probably going to be the first of those. And the rumors we are seeing are hinting at a price point of around $850, $800 to $850 for this. That means what? Roughly around 58,000-59,000 rupees if you convert it directly. Now, Samsung also has a manufacturing plant in India. So that means they can get all the Make in India duty waivers, which are associated with assembling phones inside the country.
Yeah. Yeah.
So their phones are going to be much closer to their international price than for something like Apple.
Yeah, it would be. And anyways, I think all the flagship phones for the past year or two have been made in India. All the ones that we've reviewed and the ones that have been selling have that made in India tag at the at the back of the phone.
So. No, and also in terms of pricing, if you think about it, I think Samsung is the only other manufacturer that can charge this high a premium, because if you look at the Samsung Galaxy S8, they've been very strict with the pricing of it, and you rarely saw any discounts on it, and Samsung would determine the price, and that's the price that you would get it at online and offline. Even the S7.
Exactly. Even the S7 held its price for a really long time.
So I think Samsung is the only one player other than Apple which can manage to do that in the market. Because you look at Google, well, you know, the Pixel was available at 40,000. The Pixel 2 was available
at... From its launch price of 62.
That and even the LG G6, the LG V30 Plus also are...
those get price cuts pretty quickly.
Yeah. So, whereas for the Samsung phones, they stick to a price. And this is primarily because Samsung controls it very aggressively. So I actually can see Samsung pricing it quite higher. And not reducing the prices of the S8 so that people who would want to go for the S9 would look at the difference and might as well just pay the premium for the newer phone. And with that, it'll also retain loyalty, because the S8 still holds a higher value in the resale market, just like the S7 did when the S8 was launched. And also one clarification, I was referring it to the S7 Edge and not the S7, because the S7 would get price drops, whereas the S7 Edge, which that had the curved price, display, that did not move much when it comes to pricing.
Yeah, so in a way, if you look at the bottom line of these companies, I think Samsung is probably the only company apart from Apple which has consistently been making a profit in the smartphone industry.
Yeah.
So this kind of a thing, increasing the average price, something that Apple has done, allows Samsung also to do the same thing and keep its old phones also at a higher price, as you said. So overall, like if you look at their financial health, that is definitely going to increase, because those who can't afford to pay more than something like 50,000 would go for the S7 Edge or something, and those who can afford to do that, they have a choice between the S8 and the S9, both of which will be available close to their launch price. If you know, at best you'll probably get some credit card discount, which is, you know, approved by Samsung, but you know, nothing really beyond that. So I am pretty disappointed with this trend. I don't know about you guys, but I expect like all other players in the market also to slightly raise the prices of their premium phones, because now they'll be like, okay, now Samsung has done it, so why can't we? So
yeah, I mean, everyone's going to obviously try their luck at launch, but then if it's not moving off the shelves, then they would have to, you know,
cut the price. But with most manufacturers, you can just wait, including Apple for that matter. Like the iPhone, it launched at 89,000 or something, but already I think last we saw it was available at 82 or 83 via cashback offers or something. So you can get like a decent discount, you know, a few months down the line with pretty much everyone, maybe except Samsung. So this move is definitely going to hurt people who want to buy this phone. And in general, it's not a good thing to see like prices rising in this. And that too, why are they increasing the price? It's, you know, I keep saying the same thing. It's my go-to dialogue, which is, you know, they increase the price because they can.
Yeah.
There's literally no other reason. Like if they could sell the same phone, and they are making the chip as well. Exynos is a Samsung-made chip, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They could sell the same phone, like, you know, their premium phone at a price of $720 starting price. Why can't they do it this year? I mean, you know, they clearly sense that premium, at the premium end, if you can pay 60,000, you can pay 70,000. What is the difference to you?
Like, but and the thing is that even with this increase, they are still going to move a lot of stock. Like the demand, I think that's because of the demand, right? That, I mean, people want Samsung and Apple phones. So, I mean, if people are willing to pay,
people don't even mind shelling that kind of money, because it holds its resale value quite well.
Yeah.
So people do think that, okay, we might just go for it. And later when we find some other phone that is good enough, you can just sell it at a, you know, an acceptable rate. Whereas if you were to go with other brands like Sony or LG for that matter, the prices crash horribly.
Exactly.
So I think they look at it as a safe way to, you know, probably invest.
Why I feel very bad for anybody who buys like all these other phones, including some of the iPhones at launch price on day one.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a few months down the line, it crashes so badly. Like, I mean, I still can't justify the LG G6, was it? And the Google Pixel 2. Both of them crashed quite like terribly, right? I think immediately after launch. I think G6 was within a month, was available at something like 41,000 or 43,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
So similarly with the Pixel 2, it's like just crazy. Like anybody who paid 61,000 on launch day, they would just be feeling ripped off after the same phone was available for 40.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, Samsung can bring in the India stock at a reasonable price, you know, even though they are raising it by a little while. So hopefully they can do it, you know, at a reasonable level. Something like if they are launching it at, say, 63,000 or something, that would be okay. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think we'll see at least an increase of 8,000 or so over the last year's
easily,
phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, that's all we have for this episode of Orbital. And we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, do write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. Thank you so much for listening.